Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this beautiful group of people and for the gift that you have given us through Jesus Christ, that we could come together in our church and worship you in spite of our faults. And now, Lord, I ask you to give me the words to speak that are straight from the throne of God in spite of my faults. Not only forgive me for my sins and cleanse me, but use me to be a blessing. For you and you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we've been doing a series entitled, Who is the Faithful and Wise Servant? It's based on Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the Lord has made ruler over his house to give them meat in due season? And our goal in this series is we want to be faithful and wise servants. Amen? But in order to really understand the impact of this, we must look at the context of that text, Matthew 24:45, where Jesus at the end of that chapter says, who is a faithful and wise servant? And so we have to look at the beginning of Matthew 24. And if you remember, I just briefly want to remind you that Jesus was on the Mount of Olives with a few select of his disciples who heard him say something that wanted further clarification. And they asked three questions of Jesus. They said, when will these things be? And they said, and what will be the signs of your coming? And then they said, what will be the end of the age? That's what Jesus said to them. And they wanted to know what he meant. So folks, that means the context of Matthew 24:45 happens to be about the last days. And so we had part one. Part one was entitled, is a faithful and wise servant will not be deceived. When you look at Matthew 24, after Jesus, they asked Jesus a question, the very first thing he said to them is, take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now this impacted me when I realized, reading more closely, that in that chapter, Matthew 24, he does not say that once. He does not say that twice. But how many times? Three times in those verses prior to 45, he says, don't be deceived. That tells me this is a danger. And by the way, the Greek word for deceive is planao. It means, get this, cause to roam from safety, truth, or virtue. So we see exactly what Jesus meant when he answered those three questions, placing this whole chapter, and by the way, the next two chapters in Matthew about the last days of verse 3. Part 2 is ready for the thief. It's based on Matthew 24:42-44, and Matthew says this. He says, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour the Lord is coming. He says that. But he didn't say it once in Matthew 24. He said it twice. But then when we get to the very next chapter, 25, he says it again. And then when we get in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says to his disciples, watch. That word in the Greek is greger eo. And that word happens to mean to keep awake, to watch, whether literal or physical, be vigilant, awake, watchful. So here in a repetitive nature, he's telling us what the wise and faithful servant will be like. They will not be deceived, and they will stay awake and watch. But what's interesting about Gregoreo in these four places in three different chapters in Matthew, it's a present active imperative second person plural. And what's significant about that is, all of you know what an imperative is, right? That word gregoreo is a command from Jesus. And when it's a present active, it means repeat that behavior over and over. In other words, a faithful and wise servant would constantly be on the watch, and he would not be deceived. Well, last 2 weeks ago, we looked at part three, which is of who is the faithful and wise servant. And we found that in the text, Matthew 24:45, it gives the definition. Who is a faithful and wise servant? Remember, our goal is to be a faithful, wise servant. He says to give them food in due season. And both Pastor Ryan and I shared the task of sharing with you that this phrase has to do with feeding them. And them happens to be the world people. The people in the world had to be fed. That's what a faithful and wise servant does. He feeds the household of God. The house goal of God is worldwide. How do they do that? First of all, we discovered that you must read your Bible every day. Number two, you must teach others the Bible. Do you have a Bible study? Oh, no, Pastor. I don't know enough about the Bible. I couldn't answer all the questions. Forget that. Forget it. When I started out, I was a brand new convert. I didn't know anything. But I knew I was supposed to feed them. I had Bible study. By the way, real quick, I had a Bible study with an ex-Jesuit seminarian, folks. He asked me questions during the Bible study that as I drove home, I said, Lord, did I make a mistake in joining this church? But because of that Bible study, every single time God showed me during the week the answer to the question from the Bible, and I could go back and share it with him. If you really want to put your Christian ministry or Christian existence on a high level of joy, teach somebody the Bible. Number three, return God's tithe to him whenever you get your paycheck. And number four, a faithful and wise servant also gives offering to the church. And now today we want to look at part four. The faithful and wise servant is not foolish. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Matthew 25. Everyone, turn your Bibles to Matthew 25. Children, open your Bibles to Matthew 25. And by the way, children, if you don't have a Bible, see me after church and I'll give you a new one. Okay? Matthew 25. We're going to look at this. A faithful and wise servant is not foolish. Now, folks, hang on. I think you're going to be surprised as we look a little deeper into this very famous. This parable was made very famous by the 1844 experience of our early pioneers. So let's take a look at this. Verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, shall be likened to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now remember, he's still on the Mount of Olives with these disciples. He's still answering their questions. Yes, you're in my Bible says chapter 25, but those were added later. The kingdom of heaven is likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish. Come on, don't be afraid. Those who were foolish, they took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose. They all trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, and he said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Well, let's take a look at this church of 10 virgins. Number one, I want you to see that all 10 were Christians. Number two, I want you to see that all 10 had lamps. Thirdly, I'd like you to see that all 10 of them had flagons. All waited for the bridegroom. All went to sleep. All were awakened. All sprung up. All trimmed their lamps. And all of them made haste to meet the bridegroom. Kind of hard to tell the foolish from the wise virgins apart, wouldn't you say? If we lined them up right here and I said, okay, pick out the wise ones. You couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Everything was the same. Until the crisis came. Until the crisis came. Well, let's take a look at this. This is really interesting. First of all, there were 5 wise and there were 5 foolish. And the Greek word for wise is from phronimos. Phronimos. It means thoughtful. That is sagacious or discreet, implying a cautious character. Now, friends, if you're like me, you go, what in the world does sagacious mean? So I looked it up. The wise virgins, according to sagacious, is having or showing keen mental discernment and good judgment. That's what made them wise. They showed keen mental discernment and good judgment. But remember, 5 of them were foolish. In the Greek, the word is morose. Morose means, I guess I'm back there. Morose means dull or stupid. Have you ever looked at your children or a friend and say, don't call anybody stupid? This is the definition of the foolish. Heedless, morally heedless. A blockhead, how do you like that? Absurd, foolish. And so we look at this more closely, for we want to understand the foolish, and now we look at the elements that happen to be the symbols that we find here in this parable. Number one, the foolish had what? Okay. Number two, the foolish had what? Okay. Number three, the foolish, they weren't prepared for the emergency. And finally, number four, they weren't welcome. They weren't welcome. In fact, I really like this slide. Look at the contrast, the light and the dark, folks. That image is incredible. What did Paul say? We are not the people of the dark. We're the people of the light. In Genesis 1, it says, let there be light. Wherever God is light. And the wise ones cast a light in the darkness that surrounds them. But the foolish ones have no light. And so, just in case you weren't sure, the no oil means they have no what? They have no Holy Spirit. And why? And no light means that they didn't study their Bibles. They didn't take it serious. Well, I got another one. Listen, preparing for this sermon for you just was an incredible blessing to me. Because you see, the oil comes from the Bible. But if you read carefully this parable, it says the 10 virgins were all in the church. They were all looking for the second coming of Jesus. But five of them didn't take it serious. Five of them messed around with the world while they were in the church. Now, friends, let's get serious here. There were only 10, and five of them were that way. So I'm going to divide this church in half. How many are you living like the... How many of us are living like the foolish virgins? They're virgins, but they messed with the world. They tried to combine the two. They didn't really take serious what's going on. But the wise ones did. And they were prepared. And guess what? They were welcomed. They were welcomed into the presence of God because they took their profession serious. And they literally sought the Holy Spirit in order to have the ability to serve Jesus faithfully and be ready for His soon coming. Now, if you missed it, you can go to Zechariah, the 4th chapter. That was our scripture reading we had today. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. And you only receive the Holy Spirit as you spend time in Bible study and prayer. That is the conduit which brings the Holy Spirit to us. And the foolish ones didn't take it serious. The foolish ones didn't see. And folks, you know, you should know that I love you. And you do know that I'm in the same boat you are. The beautiful privilege I have preaching to you is it holds me accountable, for if I don't do these things I tell you, guess who's going to come up to me? You are. You're going to say, Pastor, you're a hypocrite. How come so few people come to Sabbath school? They don't need Bible study? Oh, I know. I understand. It's boring. I could study a lesson better than that. I could write a lesson better than that. I don't need it. I want to tell you something. I need it. If this church door is open, I'm going to be here. Why? That's what the wise virgin would do. They would be part of Sabbath school as well as church. And when we have vespers at night, they would come. And when we have prayer meeting, they would come. And we have select times of prayer, they would be there. Why would they be there? Because they have keen mental discernment and good judgment, because they took serious what the Bible said, and they studied it and prayed on a daily basis, knowing that the only conduit to change Peter Neary from this human selfish being into a, in God's eyes, a righteous person is the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That means the foolish came to church and believed, maybe even preached, but they didn't really practice it. Take a look at what, here's just four quick statements for us from Christ Object Lessons. And by the way, if you got time, you need to make time and read that chapter. It happens to be the last chapter in the book, Christ Object Lessons. The 10 virgins illustrate the experience of the church that shall live just before the second coming. Christ Object Lesson 406. And what did all 10 virgins do before the announcement came, behold, the bridegroom cometh? They all slept. Did you try to figure that one out? It didn't, the foolish ones didn't sleep only. They both slept. They both felt the cultural pressures of the day in which they lived. But one of them, when they woke up, they were ready to act. But the other five were not ready for the emergency. Take a look at this. The two classes of watchers represent the two classes who profess to be waiting for the Lord. Did you see that? See, this parable isn't about the world and the church. This parable is about the church. And she says these are the two classes that will exist as they wait for the Lord to come. And then look at this one. This is still Christ Object Lessons 4:11. It says this. They do not know God. Actually, I didn't need all those other words. Can you imagine knocking on the door? And the master opens the door and says, Lord, let us in. We want to be in the party. Come on. This is where we want to be. This is really fun. I don't know you. I don't know you. You're going to let a stranger into your house? No. I don't know you. They had not studied his character. They had not held communion with him. Therefore, they did not know how to trust, how to look, and how to live. By the way, look and live, where does that come from? Look and live? Numbers 16, the story of the serpent on the pole, that all that came and looked up, they lived. That's what it's referring to. A personal relationship with Jesus. When you behold Him on the cross, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. You behold the love of God when you look at Jesus on the cross of Calvary. It breaks our hearts, and the Spirit comes and changes our character. Even though we may flash back, you go back and look again. Those are the ones that took it serious. The foolish didn't go back and look again. They got tired and said, forget it. Therefore, they do not know how to trust, how to look and live. Their service to God degenerates into a form. And then the last one, look at this one. I really want to impact us on this last one. In the great and measureless gift of the Holy Spirit are contained all of heaven's resources. When you and I receive the Holy Spirit, heaven is bankrupt. When Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, that means that all of heaven was emptied for our salvation. And look at how selfish we are. All of us. I'm included. And therefore, Jesus pleads with His disciples on the Mount of Olives, and He closes this incredible parable by saying, watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man comes. Grego, watch continually. Not temporary, not occasionally, continually. And it's a command from Jesus Christ at the last days. Folks, here is a, look at that. This is a church that's asleep, isn't it? Did you pick up and those are people laying in the pew sleeping? And we've got to rise above this temptation to sleep. Please don't misunderstand the depths and the seriousness of Jesus counseling those disciples, because three of them were Peter, James, and John. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He said, please watch and pray, they went to what? They went to sleep. And when Jesus, the only time in the Bible where Jesus came to human flesh for comfort, His three closest were sound asleep. Now, I don't want to be asleep. So we got to get out of the sleep. Therefore, one, give a Bible study. Two, get involved in one of our ministries. Three, support our programs. Support our evangelism and our children's ministries. Whoops. Four, come tonight to Vespers. Why? Couple reasons. First of all, Anthony Rudolph is preaching. But when he's done, we're having an all-church meeting. And at that meeting, we are going to present to the congregation the findings of the survey, what we need to do about it, the property next door, and the up-and-coming evangelism that will take place in June. Folks, when we get to the up-and-coming evangelism, I'm going to show you something in a second. There are three videos that are short, 2-3 minutes, that I'm going to show in succession. And your mind is going to be boggled by it. And the Paradise Church gets to be the first church to utilize what you're going to see in those videos. And so the plea is, help stamp out sleepy members and sleepy churches. I want you to come tonight. Oops, they didn't do it? Pastor? Did he send you a slide? Oh, great. Okay, so I'll go on. I'm not going to pan it. 1 week ago on Wednesday, I was at 3ABN. I was there with our conference president. And the reason I was there is 3ABN wanted to advertise what we're going to be doing here in June. They heard about it and they said, this is interesting. And so we flew there and we went to 3ABN and they interviewed us. First, in an hour long, and secondly, a couple hours later, they did a half hour long one. And in both sessions, they showed all three of those videos. You got to come tonight or you won't know what I'm talking about. God is doing great things with this church. And he isn't doing it because we happen to have two great pastors. He's doing it because we have great people. Please come tonight so that you can get a report on the answers to the survey, what the elders and the board decided to do about it, so you can either agree or disagree, but you'll also hear about what's going to happen here starting June 1st, Friday night. Okay. Do you got it? If you don't, that's okay. Remember what you taught me, Pastor Ryan taught me. A real preacher continues to preach whether he gets his slides or not. I rather sit down and cry, but thank you for trying. So, let us pray. Father in heaven, it's true what I said, that you're doing this with our church because of the people in it. And we've got to recognize it. In fact, I forgot to tell them that tonight in the survey, we discovered the uniqueness of the Paradise Church compared to others around this country. And we listed it all out. And they will get to see with their own eyes why you're blessing us the way you do and what makes us so unique. Thank you for it, Lord. And now as we close this worship service, we ask for your Spirit to remain in us and upon us, that we would love one another and we would reach out to those around us who need help. So receive from us as we sing the closing hymn, our attempt to honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.